Hallelujah. How good it is. How good it is. When we come together to worship the Lord. How good it is that we can encourage one another, love one another, bless one another, pray for one another. I read a quote this morning from John Wimber. And John Wimber said, the good news is that Jesus is praying for you. He said, the bad news is you're going to need it. John Wimber was a rock musician of his era and drove out into the desert, loaded up on cocaine, stood in front of his car and said, Lord, if you're real, show me. And that was the end of the cocaine. And that was the beginning of ministry. I always loved the story of when he started ministry, that he was in a church and he just was wanting the Lord. He just was wanting the Lord. And finally he went to the pastor and he said, when are we going to do the stuff? And the pastor said, what stuff? He said, the stuff that's in the Bible. I want to pray for the sick and things like that. And that was a challenge. And ultimately the pastor said, okay, pray for the sick. And John Wimber's story of his first prayer for the sick was is that he saw a woman's breast and he thought, oh my goodness, this is a train wreck. All he could see was a woman's breast. Not saved at all. All he could see was a woman's breast. But he prayed for that woman who had breast cancer and she was healed. And multiple miracles. John Wimber and his church spread worship all over the world. I went to a John Wimber band, one of his groups, in Minneapolis shortly after we were saved, and I remember Dick Dugan took me to that, and he was a little bit concerned that it might be too much for me, being a new Christian. I said, I get this better than I get anything. And then, for some unknown reason that none of us will ever figure out, John Wimber died young of a heart attack. Why did the healer die? I don't know. But his story is a great story, and he didn't regret one minute of it, and there were others to take his place. In James has a great statement, and I love it in the New Living Translation, because he says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. He says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Other translations say, consider it all joy. I like the fact that he says, he doesn't say, jump up and down, run around, turn around, go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, troubles have come, hallelujah. He said, just consider it an opportunity for joy. See, if we first look at it as an opportunity rather than an attack. Well, you see, faith teaches us that, in fact, it is an opportunity. Faith teaches us that because when we do this, when our faith is tested, then our endurance has a chance to grow. Paul was big about talking about, you know, athletic measurements of things, you know. And And runners have to have their endurance tested to get beyond and to break into a new place. I'm reminded of when I went to Naval ROTC camp, and there was another guy who had been to basic training, normal basic training, and he and I were both going into this training. And when we were both going into this training, you know, we trained together, and we were running about not running almost. We were just kind of shuffling around the track. He said, it won't be so bad. You know, this will be about the pace we go. And, you know, and I thought, well, this is slow because I've been having to run for football and basketball and track all my life. And we usually ran a little faster than that. But he said, but it won't be a problem. And so we got off the bus in Florida. We had one day before we went into the camp. We got into the camp, and we met Staff Sergeant Stooks. Staff Sergeant Stooks was who? Staff Sergeant Stooks. And he immediately informed us that he wasn't happy because he only had us for the first 4 weeks, and after that he had to turn us over to the school people. So for the first 4 weeks, we were going to be made men. So let's go, he said. He introduced us to his pace of running. Faster and further than I had ever run in my life. And all I could think about was my man Price, who had said, it won't be so bad. I said to Price, is that what you call slow? He couldn't even talk. I'm not positive he made the first run. But I found out that it could be done. And my endurance had an opportunity to grow. And grow, and grow, and grow. And then there was the day that they first turned us over to the teachers for our flight instruction. We thought we were going to get turned over to the teachers, but there was always time for training and endurance before you went to class. He thought that in our uniforms, nice khaki uniforms, he thought that in those uniforms would be a good time to just go to the beach for a stroll, carrying logs. Because you see, Staff Sergeant Stooks was a Marine, loaned to the Navy to make sure we got it to good. Now, my khaki outfit turned into sort of almost a light green outfit because I sweat. And he brought us back to stand attention before we went to class. He said, Dave, you better go change clothes. And I did. My endurance had a chance to grow. I loved that guy. I still do. Although he called me out one day and he said, you don't like me, do you, Day? I didn't know what to say. Like he didn't give me a hint as to what I should say. I said, I lied. I said, no, sir. He said, you better not like me, Day, because liking leads to loving, and loving leads to, and you ain't going to do that to me. I said, oh, geez. Yes, he and I were friends. But my endurance grew. And sort of before I knew Jesus, I sort of tried to consider it all joy when it was time to hit the road. Because every time that you made it through, it was a good deal. We had one guy who went down from heat stroke. That really made them mad. because once somebody went down for heat stroke, they put a thumb on the trainers. That guy shouldn't have even been here in the first place. He was so out of shape. If he can't do it, he shouldn't have been here. We all agreed. Anyway, that's just stories you don't really need to know, except for the fact that he taught me that with good leadership, you could go further than you thought. And Jesus is a good leader. And I hope that I have led you into faith in the little time that we've been together, years of time. But I know that we continue to need instruction. We continue to need encouragement. We continue to need to be challenged. We continue to need that. They say that Vince Lombardi, every year when he started his football training, every year he started with these people that have been playing since they were probably 5 years old, all the way through college, some of them pros for 15 years. Every year he said the same thing: gentlemen, this is a football. And I'm sure that sometimes the rookies came in and they gave him a look like, well, duh. Their training got harder. But he wanted them to know the basics and the foundation of it. We need to be continually remembering the foundation of our faith. It's Jesus. And so when James says, consider it an opportunity for joy when you face a trial. Consider it, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Weeping may last for a night, but joy will come in the morning. So we have an opportunity to always look at things, the victory's on its way. We know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to go the way God says. And so sometimes maybe that's all we can look forward to, but that's okay. But then we remember, because of faith and because we read the Bible, because we study to show ourselves approved, we know that Jesus says, now in this lifetime, and in the end, eternal life. It will work out. God will work it out. You can't always get what you want. But we always got Jesus. We've always got Jesus. As we become as little children, and when little children are afraid, what do we say to them? Daddy's here. Mama's here. To a stranger, to a child, we would encourage him and say, I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. And so Jesus says to us, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. So when troubles of any kind come your way, just consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know, there's a great victory in the fixing of things sometimes. When we were finishing up the floor in our basement and we're trying to get the pieces in, all of a sudden, Billy grabbed a flat bar. He said, that's it. Trim's coming off. And it was a lot quicker to pull the trim off, put it in, and nail it in. And there's a victory in that. There's a victory in getting it to go. Bob, when you're making the cups or you're doing a table or you're doing something and it isn't just the way you want to, that's a challenge, but it's an opportunity for joy because you're going to get it fixed. Now, the nice thing about it is if we're trying to get it fixed and trying to get it fixed, we can't get it fixed, we can throw it away. and nobody has to know. I'm reminded of when I was a young man working for a carpenter, and actually I was working for the plumbers at the time, and we noticed a truss, a rafter, was broken in this brand new house that they were building. We looked at that and we said, what in the world? They can't leave that like that. And the next time we came, you couldn't see it because the sheetrock was up. There wasn't any buckle in this roof. But we being the electricians, we got up into the attic and we realized that they fixed that thing with number 9 wire. If you know Dick Hamlin, you can imagine what Dick had to say about that. He was trying to figure out how to report that to the owners, you know. And I have to tell you that every time that I'm at that house, I kind of want to get up in the attic and feel down through the insulation and see if that number 9's still holding up. God will always be holding up. And maybe sometimes by faith, we feel like we've been wrapped in number 9 wire. That we don't like the fix. We don't like the way that it turned out. It wasn't what we had planned. And if we focus on what we didn't have planned, if we focus on what we do not have, guess what? We don't get the joy. We get the, well, it's better than nothing. Oh, I don't like better than nothing. You know? I like the joy that comes from it. I know y'all feel sorry for my wonderful wife, and you know, but she lives with me and gives me so many opportunities for joy. And sometimes my joy is I get to preach that. No, I'm just kidding. But she does, you know. I'm sure she told you today that we went to her appointment in Rapid City, and that the doctor he just sort of made it seem like he knew what he was doing a little better and gave her some hope for a new surgery. And so we're planning on that being a whoo-hoo, more than a conquering type thing, you know. And then came the ice cream on the cake when the doctor himself called her. She'd been dealing with a nurse that they're not real high on, but she does her best. But this doctor himself called to say, look, I've been looking at your x-rays again. They all look good. I think this is just going to be a sweet little cleanup. And all. She said, Roger, the doctor called me. You know? I think, oh, Jesus talks to us, doesn't he? But that joy wasn't enough to carry her through the rearranging of the downstairs. Oh. So yesterday she wore herself out because the furniture slides so easy on the new floor. Changing the furniture around. I sat down with her to watch TV. Guess what? I could hardly watch TV because she was telling me, I don't think I like this, Roger. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can stand this, Roger. I just don't know. And so now we're trying to watch a show and she's up wandering around eyeballing stuff still. She spent the whole afternoon doing this, you know. The whole afternoon, you know. Sometimes we can get settled at peace with Jesus on things, and then all of a sudden we start thinking. After we had already agreed with Jesus, I like that. After we have settled into the peace of God and this is good, and all of a sudden we start thinking. So finally I got up and I sat over on the other side of her in a different seat. I thought maybe she'd be more comfortable with me where I normally was. No. Do you want to change that right now and then go to bed? I said, we probably better. We won't get to watch anything. She said, no. I can watch a show. I can watch a show and we'll do that. I said, okay. Then she started to mention again. I said, we'll move it tomorrow. This morning she started to talk to me about the movie. I said, honey, I ain't talking about it now. I'm getting ready for church. When we get done this afternoon, when we get done eating, when we get over there, we'll fix it. She said, as long as I can watch the football game on my couch. She's going to be satisfied when it's her way. Sometimes, folks, things don't go our way. Honey, I will change it. Don't worry. But sometimes things don't go our way. And James said, consider it an opportunity for joy. By faith, we know that God has an idea. By faith, we know that God can handle it. By faith, we know that if we will just put our hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters, it'll be okay. And by faith, we have to keep telling ourselves, leave it with Jesus, leave it with Jesus, leave it with Jesus, leave it with Jesus. What's wrong with that? Because, as James said, that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And if you think about it, you know that's true. You know that's true. You know that God always, always, always can give us the peace of God that passes understanding. And every time that we go from the challenge to the other side of it, and we look back and we say, that wasn't so bad. Or we look back and we say, I made it through. And it's really nice when we come to the place where we can say, I made it through and I didn't fight God on it. Jacob, remember, Jacob fought God. I'll never make sense out of that particular portion of Scripture. I will never, you know, I guess it'd be like, you know, when you're messing with a little kid and you're letting them win, you know? And so he was just sort of, he had to be just messing with Jacob. Jacob wasn't that strong. You know? There was no way he could be God. There was no way. But Jacob felt like a big man and said, I won't let go of you till you bless me. And the angel said, okay, you're going to remember this blessing. And Jacob limped. You know what Jacob did for the rest of his life? When people say, what are you limping for? He'd say, I wrestled all night with God. I fought the Lord, but the Lord won. And that's about all we will accomplish if we won't submit ourselves there totally unto God. We'll just walk around limping. Because a lot of times when we won't submit ourselves totally unto God, then we're never quite satisfied with how God did it. And so then we try to figure out, we wrestle with God. We wrestle. There's people that wrestle with God over 20-year-old things. God would have given me my way 20 years ago. Things would be different. Probably not. But why wrestle about something 20 years ago? You know? Oh, Lord. I haven't even wrestled about that. But it's true. Years and years and years and years ago, when I was a senior in high school, when I was the football player, when I would run the ball, I would get where I wanted to go most all the time. We came down to the end zone. And all we needed to do was give it today. That's what the crowd wanted. That's what I wanted. Give me the ball. But the quarterback kept it. And he didn't score. And there are people say, I wish he'd have given it today, that day. And I have to think, what's he talking about? Oh, yeah, I remember that play. I remember in the huddle. I remember saying, give me the ball. Chuck, give me the ball. They're going to be happy if you give me the ball. Nobody was happy after that, except me, because I was right. No, I wasn't happy about not winning the game. Not at all. But, you know, the thing is that what good would it do? But there are some people, literally, 40-year-old things, 50-year-old things. There are people that die with a feud, die bitter, die, you know, over things because they just won't let go of things. Those things kill them. Or we can do like James says, is you know what? Consider it an opportunity for joy. Consider it an opportunity to talk to the Lord. Consider it an opportunity to cast your care upon the Lord. Consider it an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm just going to put this with you, God. And then I'm going to believe that you are able, and I'm just going to rejoice right now. I'm not going to rejoice in how things are going. I'm not going to rejoice in the way that things look to me. I'm going to rejoice because you are faithful. I'm going to build me some endurance here right now. And I will behold the goodness of God in the land of the living. Take the opportunity. So let it grow, for endurance is fully developed. Let it grow. Because when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, and you'll need nothing. We sing, you're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. All the time before I met you, you were all I ever needed, Lord. I can see it now. You're all I ever needed. And so then when I think about that, I have to say to myself, so what's changed? And this morning I thought, okay, you know, I was thinking that's why I texted Vicki and asked about communion. I was thinking about, you know, I do not comprehend the plan. All these years, I don't comprehend the plan. I understand, but I don't understand what goes into a plan like that God would give his only son. And then I do understand that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He took an opportunity to rejoice. That wasn't fun, though. But they went through with it. They did it. I get that, but still, it's so the love of God, the Bible says, is so great that we'll never really be able to comprehend the fullness of God's love. So we just take it at face value. And when we really think about it, it's the greatest thing on earth. You see, sometimes you don't have to understand. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need the one who has all the answers. And when we have that, then we can leave that with God. Blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord. What happens if we put our effort and our fight into giving it to him rather than our effort and our fight into getting it where our brain can take it? What about just continuing on saying, Lord, I don't know how you got me this far, so you're just going to have to keep taking me on. So let it, let it, Let it grow. James just says, just go ahead and let it grow. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and He will give it to you. He won't rebuke you for asking. He doesn't say, well, dummy, you ought to know. He knows enough to say, wow, it's good that you asked. That's faith. Asking God is faith. We're all getting to being complete, needing nothing. But when you ask Him, just make sure that your faith is in God alone. And when you ask, you know if your faith is in God alone. You know if you're asking with conditions. You know if you're asking, thinking of another route of how else you might do something. You know. And so He said, just make sure that when you do it, ask Him with your faith in Him alone. Don't waver. Don't you waver. Don't catch yourself if you waver. You know if you waver. So just go ahead. Just keep going back until you're solid. Get your feet under you good, you know. When you're on the third rung of the ladder, no problem. But when you're on the top of the ladder, you're a little more, get yourself there. When I sighted our house after the wind blew it off, when I sighted it, going up was no problem. But at the peak, I was at the top of the ladder, and I'm going to snap that piece in. And I'm thinking, what was I thinking all those years ago, just hanging around like this? I shouldn't be doing this. But I got to get it done, you know? So I'm still standing there. I don't want to start down until I'm ready to get down. And so I can't stretch enough to get it to snap. And I reached, I got my hammer carefully. Snap. I trusted that the snap was going to hold it. I wasn't going to try to get a nail up there. I was glad when it was all done. I took down the ladder. I said, that's the last time I'm doing that. Sometimes we're on the top rung, and sometimes we're wavering. But don't waver, James said. The person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of a sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. I mean, because when the Lord asked the blind man, what would you like me to do for you? He asked them specifically. You know? What if they'd have said, I want to see, well, wait, I'd like to be able to run faster. No, they were pretty serious. I'd like to be able to see. And Jesus said, okay. See, they already had decided that Jesus could do it. Because they were saying, hey, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I want to see. Oh, that's a crazy thing to say, unless you're talking to Jesus. There was no wavering. There wasn't time. He didn't give them time to think about it. He didn't say, now, are you sure? Nope, boom, gave them their sight. God truly has only good plans for you and me. And we simply need to trust Him and to consider that that's His advice for us for life. No matter what it is, consider it an opportunity for joy. If it makes you happy right away, hallelujah, enjoy the happy. If you can't see, no matter how you look, well, just consider the opportunities coming. I had to get my driver's license renewed this week. And ever since I learned that I was born with monovision, it began to make sense to me that for some reason the only time I couldn't see perfectly was in that little C thing for the driver's license. But the doctor said, my eyes are good, I'm going to go do this thing. I went in there, stuck my head in. I need you to read that line. I read that line, bing, 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 no problem. She said, I need you to read all of line 2. I did. The third box was nothing. She said, you have to read the whole thing. I said, what? And then I looked, and when I first looked at it, I said, it looked like it was Chinese. I'm going, she said, well, read number 3. And I read number 3 on the next one down. She said, I'll take that. But I looked, and as I looked and tried to get to see, because it must have been a far one, and my right eye is a short seer, finally it sort of came in. I said, oh, you mean that HBDG? Yeah, that's the one. But it was not even there to begin with. When she said read the whole thing, I thought, oh, Lord, she's going to punch my driver's license, and I'm not going to be able to drive until I get my doctor to say, okay, I should have got that doctor's thing right away. Then I wouldn't have to put up with this. You know, but she didn't do that, and so we were good. But I could not see anything in that blank at first look. Sometimes things will come, and we can't see anything. We can't see any way. We can't begin to imagine how it could ever work. It's a blank spot. I believe that little test taught me something. I don't have to see it. It's there. And with God, it's there. And all things are possible with God. And that's why James could say, you know what? When troubles of any kind come, just step back and look at it as an opportunity for great joy. It's going to turn into a testimony. It's going to turn into something you're going to always look back on. And don't be a Jacob. Don't look back on it limping. Look back on it like you came out of it walking better. And let just the memory of it be the thing that reminds you. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are thankful that because we know you, we can look at anything as an opportunity to rejoice. And Lord, in this day and age, in this time that we live in, we need all the rejoicing we can get. Every day on the news, they'll give us plenty to go, ugh. But we'll have the opportunity to smile and trust you. Help us to take it, Lord, no matter what. No matter what, to let the joy of the Lord be our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.